ஓம் ஹரி ஓம் தத் சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம் ஓம் சதா சிவ சமாரம்பாம் வ்யாஸ சங்கர மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரி. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஓம் பத்ரம் கண்ணே விஷ்ணுனுயாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஶ்யே மாக்ஷபர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கை ஸ்துஷ்டவாகம் சஸ்தனுபிஹ வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதை யதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்த்ரோ வ்ருத்தஸ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஓம் ப்ரஹ்மா தேவானாம் ப்ரதம ஸம்பபோவ விஸ்வஸ்ய கர்த்தா புவனஸ்ய கோப்தா சப்ரஹ்ம வித்யாம் சர்வ வித்யா பிரதிஷ்டாம் அதர்வாய ஜேஷ்ட புத்ராய ப்ராஹ அதர்வணேயாம் ப்ரவதேத ப்ரஹ்மா அதர்வாதாம் புரோவாச அங்கிரே ப்ரஹ்ம வித்யாம் சபாரத்வாஜாய சத்யவஹாய ப்ராஹ பாரத்வாஜோங்கிரசே பராவராம் சௌனகோஹ வை மகாஷாலஹ அங்கிரசம் விதிவத் விதிவதுபசன்ன பப்ரச்ச கஸ்மின்னு பகவோ விஜ்ஞாதே சர்வமிதம் விஜ்ஞாதம் பவதீதி தஸ்மை சஹோவாச த்வே வித்யே வேதிதவ்யே இதி ஹஸ்ம யத் ப்ரஹ்ம விதோ வதந்தி பராச்சைவாபராச்ச தத்ராபரா ருக்வேதோ யஜுர்வேத சாமவேதோ தர்வவேதஹ சிக்ஷா கல்போ வ்யாகரணம் நிருக்தம் சந்தோ ஜோதிஷமிதி அத பரா யயா தத்க்ஷரமதிகம்யதே. So until this mantra we saw, one student Shaunakaha approached his teacher and asked for the knowledge of the absolute reality. Shaunaka explained there are twofold knowledge, paravidya and aparavidya. Shaunaka asked kasmin vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati. What is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? In context, he said, knowledge of anything and everything, including all the four Vedas, all shad angas, knowledge of anything is aparavidya. Even all the four Vedas and shad angas come under the category of aparavidya. There's not, what is paravidya then? What is the absolute wisdom, absolute knowledge? It is the knowledge of the absolute reality, obtaining in the form of a thought, which rises in the form of a thought, in terms of aham brahma asmi. The knowledge of the reality obtaining as one's own self, the self-knowledge. Knowledge of the truth, obtaining as the truth of one's own self, in terms of aham brahma asmi. This knowledge alone is absolute knowledge. It's not stating, it's not this expression, aham brahmasmi, absolute knowledge. What is absolute knowledge then? The knowledge which rises in the form of a thought. Knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought alone is paravidya. Everything else is aparavidya. Because all these Vedas, all sadangas, which they all serve as instruments of knowledge, means of knowledge. So instruments of knowledge do not become the paravidya. It is the knowledge which rises by studying the Upanishads texts, understand the unfoldment of the meaning of those words. Finally, the vision of reality which rises takes place in the mind in terms of self-knowledge, aham brahmasmi, the vritti, the thought, knowledge obtaining in a thought of one, knowledge of one's own self alone is paravidya. He said. Then he straight away, he started unfolding the nature of reality. It's called a swarupa lakshanam of Brahma, swarupa lakshanam of reality revealed in the mantra, which we saw last class. Sixth mantra. Yattadadreshyam agrahyam. Yattadadreshyam agrahyam. Agotram avarnam. Achakshushrotram tad apanipadam. Yattadadreshyam agrahyam. Agotramavarnam achakshushrotram tadapanipadam nityam vibham sarvagatam susukshvam tadavyayam yad bhutayonim paripashyanti dhiraha. We were seeing the meaning of this mantra last class. So in the sixth mantra, Shaunaka Rishi unfolds how the reality is. I said, explain in the class, every word first negates what the reality is not. By negating, stating what it is not, it also reveals the reality in terms of its given nature. So adreshyam should be taken as adrishyam. So drishyam is perceptible, adrishyam is imperceptible. Adreshyam, then agrahyam. It is not an object. All these words we saw very clearly last week. All these words state, reveal the fact that reality, the absolute reality implied by the term Brahma, is not an object of knowledge at all. Adresham, agrahyam. Adresham, agrahyam. Agotram, avarnam. Achakshushrotram, tad apanipadam. And having stated what it is not, and also the next line, each and every word reveals the reality in terms of its nature. Those words also negate what Brahman is not. Not an object of perception, the imperceptible. It is not an object which can, not an object of action. It is of the nature of formlessness, because there's no gotram, doesn't belong, there's no form. It doesn't belong to any gotram, doesn't have any varna. It has no attributes. It has no eyes, ears, or any sense organs. It has no form, limbs, apanipadam. So limbless, formless, doesn't have sense organs, etc. It is not an object of thought, object which can be described, because it has no attributes. It is an object of action. It cannot be accomplished as a result of an action. It is not perceptible. It is not, doesn't have perceptible. So all these words negate the entire objective universe as a Brahma, not Brahma. These words which are given in the mantra make it very clear. The absolute reality is not anything in this world, including time and space. Because time and space and all the objects of the world come under the category of drishyam, grahyam, sapanipadam, chakshushchotram. Therefore, they come under the category of the words, opposite to the words given in the mantra. Then, nityam vibhum sarvagatam, even those words negate the world, because nothing in the world is permanent, not subject to time. Nothing in the world is spatially limitless. Everything in the world is spatially limited, subject to time limitation, spatial limitation. Therefore, even those words negate the world as anatma, abrahma, non-reality. Susukshvam also negates, because everything in the world either is available for sense perception. If it is not available for sense perception, at least available for thought conception. Even things, the certain things which are describable, available for description. But here, it is the subtlest. It is of the nature of formlessness. It is subtlest. The reality being time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, it is the subtlest. So sukshum, there's nothing subtler than the reality. Nothing is as subtle as reality. Because knowledge of objects, even knowledge which rises in the form of a thought, even knowledge is subtle. Cognitions which rise in the mind of objects are very subtle, inexplicably subtle. What about the source of knowledge? Must be subtler than knowledge. That's why inexplicably subtlest susukshmam, and this reality is of the nature of changelessness, avyayam. It is this reality which is the bhutayonihi. I've already explained this mantra last class. I'm going to the last word of bhutayonihi. Yonihi means the cause. And the cause of all beings. Reality is not the cause of anything, but the cause of all the beings is reality. When you say the cause of all the beings is reality, what it means is without reality, no being can exist independently. It is the reality which lends existence to all the beings. The very existence of all the beings is in the reality. Therefore, reality is the cause of all the beings is reality. Bhutayonihi. How this Bhutayonihi is going to be explained in the following mantra. The word Bhutayonihi will be explained in the following mantra. Now, Bhutayonim, dhiraha paripashyanti. So, adreshyam, agrahyam, agotram, avarnam, achakshashrotram, apanipadam, nityam, vibhum, sarvagatam, susukshvam, avyayam, yat, tad, bhutayonim, paripashyanti dhiraha. Now, paripashyanti. Pashyanti means see. Paripashyanti, clearly see, doubtlessly see, assertively see. They see always, they see everywhere. Who see the reality? Dhiraha paripashyanti. So here, the word dhiraha literally means brave person. But here it means Dhiraha means a wise person. I remember very clearly Swamiji explaining the meaning of the word Dhiraha. Even the wise people are said to be the brave people according to Shastra. Because in wisdom, people who are blessed with the knowledge of the reality, who have this knowledge, are the people who are free from fear of death, therefore who are people of utter fearlessness. Only in wisdom, in the wake of the knowledge of the truth obtaining as one's own self, when the notion, I am the mortal, resolves, then a person becomes free from the hold of the phenomenon called fear for good. Such a person who is free from the hold of the phenomenon called fear for good is said to be the person of fearlessness, and he is the brave person. The person who has clear understanding of what death is all about. Because this knowledge of the reality is actually knowledge of the self, which blesses a person with understanding of what death is. Therefore, it frees a person, liberates a person from the fear of death. That is how the person who has knowledge becomes a brave person. Dhiraha. And the fearless mind is the mind which is protected mind. And there's a root ra, rati, means protects. Dhiyam rati. Iti dhiraha. The one who protects his mind, protects his intellect, is said to be dhiraha. Yaha dhiyam rati saha dhiraha. One who protects his intellect is dhiraha. How does a person protect his intellect, protect his mind? The person who is free from, whose mind is free from fear for good is the one who has protected his mind. If at all we want to protect our minds, and our minds must be free from fear, a fearless mind. Fearless mind is the secure mind, is the protected mind. So, dhiraha are the wise people who have protected their minds from fear. Therefore, they are protected minded are said to be dhiraha, protected minded are the wise people. So such wise people alone see the reality like this. For in their vision, reality, this is how reality is. The dhiraha paripashyanti. Now, the thing is, all these words negate the whole jagat as non-reality. Which means it negated the object. Reality is not an object is made very clear. So the entire world of objects, including time and space, get negated as non-reality, abrahma. Then what is the reality? If it is not an object, but the reality must be the subject. Is reality the subject? Reality is not the subject, but the subject is reality. Which means reality is available, must be available as the subject. Reality is not the subject, but reality is available for understanding as the subject. Subject of knowledge. How do we know? Because the words used in the Upanishad, mantra, very carefully negated the entire objective universe, including time and space. Adrishyam, adreshyam, agrahyam. Achakshushrotram, apanipadam. Avarnam, agotram. Nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshmam. All these words negated time, negated space, negated all the forms, names and functions which constitute the objective universe. as non-reality abrahma. Therefore, it gives a clue, reality is not an object, but reality, it doesn't say reality is not the subject, but reality is available for understanding as the subject. If reality, subject is not mentioned, therefore, if you ask that what the subject is, what is the subject of knowledge? The subject of knowledge is the knower. Then who is the knower? We do not, we know there is a knower. No, because of the presence of which knowledge of the objects is possible, because of which the objects do enjoy the status of being existent. It means there is knowledge. The objects are there because they are known. Objects have the status of being the objects because they are the known. They are known. They are known because there's knowledge of the objects. Knowledge of the objects is because there is knower. And therefore, what this knower is, this is where in the objective universe, our own body, mind, sense complex also get negated as anatma, as abrahma. Our physical body is also part of the objective universe because our physical body is also known. Not only physical body, even our sense powers are objects of knowledge. Even our thoughts, our states of mind, states of experience, are objects of knowledge. The waking state is known, dream state is known, deep sleep state is known. Therefore, when you say not reality, our physical body, our mind, our states of mind, our physiological functions, our sense organs, our organs of actions, all of them, all these different aspects which constitute an individual human being also get negated as non-reality, abrahma. So what is it which is not negated here as non-reality? The subject of knowledge. Because the words of the mantra help us negate the objects as non-reality. Therefore, not only the external world, even our own, every individual's body, mind, sense complex also gets included in the objective universe as an object of knowledge, as drishyam, as grahyam, as savarnam, as sagotram, as sapanipadam, as achakshushrotram. Even the body, mind, sense complex of every individual gets included in the objective world. What is not negated here is only the subject of knowledge. The knower alone is not included in the non-reality. Therefore, what is this knower then? The knower is not included. Knower alone is left. Please remember how Upanishad teaches us how to arrive at the reality. These words given in the Upanishad negated the object, world of objects, me, objects. In that world of objects, we see the fact how our own, every individual human being's body, mind, sense complex also get negated as anatma, non-reality. What is not negatable? What cannot be negated? What is not included in the object universe is this subject of knowledge, which is the knower. Now, the knower is distinct from the known. Therefore, what this knower is, who this knower is, if we search for, if in fact the knower is only a name, a word, there's no given form for the knower. Because the form of an individual, the physical form, subtle form in terms of mind, all sense organs are included in the objective universe. The knower is only a word which doesn't have any form. Knower has no form. The known body has a form. Known sense powers have subtle form. Known thoughts are of subtle form. But what about the knower? Knower is there doubtlessly, but knower has no form. Knower is formless. And what is this formless knower? Who is this formless knower? The knower of the mind, knower of thoughts, knower of changing thoughts, knower of changing states of mind is distinct, is the reality. If you understand who the knower is, we can resolve the very knower in the very reality. Because knower of this known states of mind, known thoughts, how is this thing? Because knower is changeless. The known states of mind undergo changes. Known states of mind are subject to change. Known thoughts, cognitions are subject to change. The knower is changeless. The knower obtaining in each state of mind is distinct. And who that knower is? The knower in the waking state is the same knower in the dream state. The knower in the same knower in deep sleep state. And because of the presence of which, in the dream experience is possible. The dream experience can be analyzed. Dream experience, the even deep sleep state experience can be remembered, can be recollected and discussed. And that knower is said to be the truth of I. Knower is said to be the truth of every thought. Knower is said to be the truth of the mind. The knower is knowledge. Knower is none other than knowledge. Pure knowledge. Knower is knowledge. Jnata jnanam. Janati iti jnanam. That which knows is knowledge. We don't say the one who knows. That which knows is knowledge. Therefore, there is no knower other than knowledge. And we say the pure knowledge. Otherwise, we use another expression, pure consciousness or pure awareness. Shuddham Chaitanyam. Pure awareness. Is the truth of I. Which is the truth of any cognition. Why? Without that pure knowledge, pure consciousness, there cannot be manifestation of knowledge. When the thought rises, the same knowledge is said to be pure manifest knowledge. When the thoughts are resolved, the same knowledge is said to be pure knowledge. It is like saying, in the presence of opaque things, light gets the name, different qualification as reflection of the light or the reflected light. In the absence of opaque things, light is called pure light. Why pure light? Because there's no opaque thing in the presence of light. There's just the light alone is. The light alone is, light does not have the status of being the illuminator. Light is without the status of being the illuminator. The illuminated status comes to the light only when an opaque thing is there. Therefore, the light alone is without the illuminated status. In the absence of opaque things, light is called pure light. In the presence of opaque things, light gets the qualification of the status of being the illuminator. Then the opaque thing also is a reflection of light. Then light gets the qualification, not only light gets the illuminator status, light is also called reflection of light or reflected light. Similarly, when the thoughts are resolved, mind is non-functional. Thoughts are resolved. Thoughts do not rise. Mind is blank, which is said to be the deep sleep state of the mind. We have repeatedly analyzed this deep sleep state of the mind. In deep sleep state is a state of mind. Mind is non-functional, passive. Thoughts are resolved. No thought is there. Mind is blank, empty. Then there is knowledge. There is pure reality in the form of, then the reality is called pure knowledge. Why it's called pure knowledge? Because the knowledge does not, knowledge alone is. In the absence of thoughts, knowledge is called pure knowledge. The knowledge does not have the illuminative status, knower status. Without the knower status, without the thoughts, reality is as pure knowledge. When the thoughts rise, then reality has the status of being the illuminator, knower of thoughts. Then, in the presence of thoughts, reality, same reality, which is said to be pure knowledge, gets the different name, manifest knowledge. So thought is looked upon as the manifestation of the knowledge. Reality is looked upon as manifest knowledge. Some people call it reflected consciousness. You can say reflection of consciousness or manifestation of consciousness. In the presence of thoughts, same consciousness gets the name manifestation of consciousness, manifest consciousness. Reflection. In the absence of thoughts, same consciousness is pure consciousness. When is reality pure knowledge? When is reality manifest knowledge? In the absence of thoughts, the mind is non-functional, there's pure knowledge. In the presence of thoughts, knowledge is manifest knowledge. Then there's also illuminated status also comes. Therefore, if we see there's no knower other than the most abstract, subtlest, formless reality, which is of the nature of knowing. It's very important, the most important in all the Upanishads is understanding the fact that reality is of the nature of knowing. Jnana Swarupam. That is the most important lesson. By studying so many Upanishads, without understanding this one subtlest fact, there's no other study will be of any use for us. Brahma Sutra study, all other studies will be of no use at all. This is the only way we can arrive at the reality. Reality has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing. So reality is formless. There is no knower at all. knower is only a temporary status, but the reality gets in the presence of thoughts. Even when the thoughts are not there, the knower of the blankness of mind is the reality. And that we can recollect only when the thoughts arise. That is why thought has to arise, especially the I thought. This is how reality is. We arrive at reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Why does reality know? Because knowing is its nature. It's not an action. Therefore, jnanam, knowing is not an action. It is the very swarupam, very nature. Therefore, the word used is jnanam brahma. Pure knowledge, which is distinct from the manifest knowledge in the presence of the thoughts. So pure knowledge is reality in the absence of thoughts. Reality in the presence of thoughts, as the eliminator of thoughts, knower of thoughts, is manifest knowledge. So every thought is manifestation of knowledge. Thought by itself is inert, is non-countable. Therefore, what is the source of manifestation? What is the source of manifestation? Pure knowledge. The source of manifestation, pure knowledge, is reality, which is implied by the term Brahma. Now we can understand. You can use this word, every word you can take now. See how that reality, obtaining as the swarupam of the knower, as the truth of the knower, as a formless knower, distinct from the known, as pure consciousness, as pure knowledge, as pure awareness, is the sub-meaning of every word here. So adrishyam, consciousness is not drishyam. Agrahyam, consciousness, see, consciousness is the very source of knowledge, because of which thoughts enjoy existence, and because of which sense organs enjoy existence. Therefore, consciousness is the source of the sense powers, without which your sense powers cannot function as sense powers. Therefore, consciousness is adrishyam, adreshyam. Consciousness is agrahyam, is not an object of action, because of the presence of which any action is possible. Agrahyam, adreshyam, agrahyam, avarnam, consciousness has no attribute. Pure knowledge has no attribute. Even purity is not an attribute. It is very swarupam. Being pure is not an attribute. It's a swarupam. Nature. Avarnam, agotram, consciousness doesn't belong to any gotram. All gotrams, all lineages exist because of the blessing of consciousness in terms of its presence. No gotram. Pure knowledge, pure consciousness doesn't have any attribute, doesn't have any gotram, doesn't have sense organs. But all sense organs enjoy existence. All sense organs have the status of being sense organs, function as sense organs, because of the blessing of consciousness. But consciousness doesn't have sense organs. All limbs, such as legs and hands, etc., pani, padam, etc., all limbs enjoy existence because of consciousness, but consciousness by itself doesn't have any limbs. And of course, consciousness is of the nature of timelessness. Time comes and goes. And the knower of time, knower of presence of time, knower of absence of time is distinct from time. Therefore, timeless. Time consciousness has no time. Limitation, nityam. Space comes and goes. Space is object of knowledge. Knowing this presence of space, absence of space, that which is always there is pure consciousness. The pure knower of space is pure knowledge, which is free from spatial limitation. Nityam vibhum sarvagatam vibhum. What about all the forms? So there's so many innumerable, countless forms indicated by innumerable form, innumerable, countless words associated with innumerable, countless functions and purposes. All of them enjoy existence because they are known. They're known because knowledge is possible. Knowledge is possible because of the source of knowledge. There's no form, no word, no function which enjoys existence independently outside of consciousness. But consciousness is free from all forms, but all the forms are of consciousness. Nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshvam. How subtle is consciousness? Can you explain? Can you describe how subtle is consciousness? We cannot explain even how subtle our sense organs are. What about the thoughts? What about cognitions? What about manifestation of knowledge? How subtle the cognitions are subtle? The source of cognitions, the source of manifestation, the pure knowledge is the subtlest. There's nothing which is as subtle or subtler than consciousness. Susukshma. Nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshmam. Avyayam. Consciousness is the only vastu, only substance, subtlest, which is of the nature of changelessness. The power of reality undergoes a change. Thoughts undergo changes. Everything in the external world keeps on changing because matter is of nature undergoing changes. Matter is beginningless. Matter has no end, but matter is of the nature of undergoing changes. Whereas consciousness, which does not depend upon matter or the power for its existence, which is the source of the power, is of the nature of changelessness, avyayam. Now you can understand how nothing in the world is Brahma and how consciousness, which is the abstract reality, arrived at as the source, the truth of knower alone, is pure knowledge, pure consciousness alone is implied by the term Brahma. Because of its of the nature of limitlessness, time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless, it is absolutely free from all limitations, Brahma. Therefore, in fact, we can arrive at reality only as the truth of the knower, which means the truth of I. For I, the knower, am the reality, Brahma. There's no other way of arriving at it. So, dhiraha paripashyanti. This is how the wise people arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing, which is distinct from the world. How do we know? Every word negated, carefully pointed out that how reality is not anything in the world. What cannot be negated by these words is the knower, I. I am the knower. If a knower is not negated, therefore, if we search for, analyze, inquire into the nature of knower, what is knower is, who this knower is, we will come to, there's a surprise for us, there's a mind-boggling fact, knower has no form, there is no knower other than abstract, formless reality. But the, that which obtains as the knower is the reality, then we resolve the knower in reality. We have to say it is this reality which is adresham, agrahyam, agotram, avarnam, achakshushotram, apanipadam, nityam, vibhum, sarvagatam, sukshum, bhutayorim, bhutayorhi. It is this reality which is the cause of all beings, which is bhutayonihi. Okay. And as I said, the following word describes how this reality implied the term Brahma, obtaining as oneself, available for recognition as a Swarupam of the knower, I, is Bhutayonihi. How is it? Okay, another important mantra in the Upanishad study, the study of all Upanishads, is this following mantra. Seventh mantra. Please memorize the sixth mantra and see that you understand how Upanishad presents this. See, the first, the sixth mantra reveals the nature of reality. Swarupam, it reveals. By state negating what it is not. The following mantra presents the reality as, when the word Bhuta Yonihi is further commented upon by the following mantra. Yathor nano, okay, yathor nana bhihi, yathor nana bhihi, yathor nana bhihi, srijate, srijate grinnate cha yathor nana bhihi srijate grinnate cha yathor nana bhisrijate grinnate cha yatha prithivyam oshadhayas sambhavanti yatha prithivyam Oshadhayasambhavanti Yatha Satav Purushat Keshalomani Yatha Ksharat Sambhavatiha Vishwam Yatha Ksharat Yathor Nana Bhisrjate Grinnate Cha Yatha prithivyam oshadhayas sambhavanti Yatha satav purushat keshalomani Tatha ksharat sambhavatiha vishwam Yathor nana bhisrjate grinnate cha Yatha prithivyam oshadhayas sambhavanti Yatha satav purushat keshalomani Tatha ksharat sambhavatiha vishwam. See, take this expression, sambhavati. We can say, this mantra presents the tatastha lakshanam of Brahman. The previous mantra presented the Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. How the reality, absolute reality, the ultimate truth of the whole cosmos is. Now, in this mantra, reality is presented as the yoni of all the beings. which means the cause of the entire universe, the cosmos. When you say the reality is the reality implied by the term Brahma, which alone obtains as the innermost essence of all the beings implied by the term Atma, is the way source. This, the whole cosmos does not exist outside of the reality. Nothing in this world exists outside of the reality. Everything in this universe enjoys its existence in reality. In fact, everything in this universe is reality, Brahma. Not only Aham Brahma, not only I, the knower, am Brahma, the known cosmos also is Brahma. That fact has to be arrived at here through this verse. The previous verse indirectly negating the world as an object, as non-Brahma, helped us arrive at reality as the truth of the knower. So we can understand I, the knower, am the reality. What about the known world? Reality is not the world, but the world is reality. Reality is not the world, therefore we cannot search for the reality in the world. So we have to search where is it then? To arrive at the reality, Upanishad taught us that methodology. Now Upanishad reveals another fact. The whole world is reality. The known is also nothing but reality. So it says, therefore the world doesn't exist outside of Brahma. So to make you understand this fact, Upanishad says, sambhavati iha, sambhavati iha, sambhavati iha. Iha here, this world which we experience now, remaining as part of which we experience this world. This entire world, the entire cosmos, remaining as part of which we experience this world now, iha, sambhavati. Sambhavati comes into existence, originates. Sambhavati. Kim sambhavati? Vishwam sambhavati. Vishwam means, Vishwam is a very big word. Vishwam means a universe. Vishwam means cosmos. Now, why the universe is known by the word Vishwam in Sanskritam? Can we explain why the word universe is used to mean the universe? Why the word cosmos is used to mean the word cosmos? But here we have an explanation for this word Vishwam, why the universe is meant by the word Vishwam. See, pratyayaha means knowledge, an object of Arjis pratyayaha. What pratyayaha means, in different contexts, they have different meanings. Pratyayaha means knowledge, an object of knowledge. Because the object doesn't exist outside of knowledge. Therefore, the knowledge object also is meant by the word pratyaya. And how many objects are here? Can we count? Countless. Innumerable, countless objects. And in what form? In innumerable, countless forms. And how do we know? Because all those innumerable, countless objects obtaining in countless forms are indicated by their own corresponding innumerable, countless words. And associated with innumerable countless functions. They serve purposes. Therefore, vividaihi pratyayaihi gamyam iti vishwam. Vishwam means that which is constituted of innumerable countless forms indicated by innumerable countless names associated with innumerable countless functions. That's what is Vishwam. Therefore, this entire universe sambhavati iha, iha Vishwam sambhavati. Here, the world which we experience, being part of which this originates, comes into existence. Iha Vishwam sambhavati. From what? From what? From where? Aksharat. Aksharat Vishwam sambhavati. Simple kindergarten Sanskrit sentence. All of you can understand very well. Iha aksharat Vishwam sambhavati. Iha aksharat Vishwam sambhavati. Vishwam kasmat sambhavati. Kutaha sambhavati. Where does the universe originate from? Where does the universe come into existence from? Aksharat. Kasmat? Aksharat Vishwam sambhavati. The whole cosmos originates, comes into existence from Aksharam. What is Aksharam? Kshna Ksharati iti Aksharam. That which does not perish is Aksharam. Imperishable, indestructible is Aksharam. What is imperishable? What is imperishable, indestructible? Absolute reality, ultimate truth, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, implied by the term Brahma or Atma, alone is Aksharam. Because Aksharam is of the nature of self-existence. Why does this pure knowledge exist? Because being existent is its nature. Existence is its swarupam. And it is of the nature self-existence. It is this Aksharam which lends existence for the entire objective universe. Therefore, which is of the nature of self-existence? This is imperishable. Because everything is lent existence by this reality. Therefore, nothing, no harm can be caused to this reality by anything. It is ever imperishable. Aksharam. This pure knowledge, pure consciousness implied by the term Brahma is Aksharam. From this reality, Brahman alone, Aksharat means Brahmanaha. From this Brahman alone, this universe comes into existence. Aksharat Vishwam Sambhavati Iha. Here the world comes into existence from this Brahman. How? Katham Sambhavati? The question can come, how does, now kasmat aksharat, katham sambhavati, how does the universe originate from Brahma? How does the universe come into existence from Brahma? It is not like how the pot comes out of clay. It is not like, you know, ornament comes out of gold. It is not how the table is made out of wood. No. Because there, all the causes have to undergo changes to become the effects. Gold has to undergo process to become an ornament. Wood has to undergo process to become a table. Clay has to undergo some changes to become a pot. They're all material causes. Upadana karanani. Clay is an upadana karanam, material cause. Gold is a material cause of the ornament. Wood is a material cause of the furniture. Upadana karanam. Here, Brahman also is upadana karanam. Brahman is upadana karanam. material cause of the universe. Why? Because without clay, pot cannot exist. Without gold, ornament cannot exist. Without wood, furniture cannot exist. Without Brahman, the universe cannot exist. Therefore, the existence, that which lends existence, obtaining as the material cause of the universe, material cause is Brahma. So Brahman is material cause, but Brahman does not undergo any change. All the material causes have to undergo change, a process to become an effect. Therefore, they are all known as Parinami Upadana Karanani. Parinami Upadana Karanam means a material cause which undergoes a change, a cause which goes through a process to become an effect is called Parinami Upadana Karanam. Whereas Brahman, the material cause of the universe is Brahman, but without undergoing any change or whatsoever, Brahman has become the material cause of the universe. Therefore, Brahman is Vivarta Upadana Karanam. Vivarta Upadana Karana means the material cause of the universe is Brahman, but without undergoing any change. Vivarta Upadana Karana. So, Katham Sambhavati Vishwam Aksharat. For that question, Upanishad gives three examples. Three examples are given. How the universe originates, comes into existence from Brahma. And this is, so not only Brahman is the material cause of the universe, Brahman is also the intelligent cause of the universe. Intelligent cause or Miche Nimitta Karanam. Not only Parinami Upadana Karanam, sorry, Vivarta Upadana Karanam, Brahman is also Nimitta Karanam, intelligent cause of the universe. Like what? The wood cannot become a table by itself. Intelligent carpenter who has knowledge and skill to convert the wood into a furniture must touch the wood. So he is the intelligent cause. The goldsmith who knows, who has the knowledge and skill to how to convert the gold into an ornament is intelligent cause. The knowledge and skill of the carpenter, the knowledge and the skill of the goldsmith, knowledge and the skill of the pot maker is the intelligent cause. So the intelligent cause and the material cause are different when we analyze other objects, other creations, other products. Whereas here, the intelligent cause of the universe also is Brahma. Material cause of the universe also is Brahma. So, how? That is beautifully explained by giving three examples. That's why to compare, the yatha is used. Yatha. First Upanishad says, katham sambhavati, aksharat vishwam sambhavati. Fine. Katham sambhavati. For that question, yatha. Urnanabhihi srijate grinnate cha yatha urnanabhihi srijate grinnate cha. First example. So urnanabhi, yatha, yatha and tatha are correlatives, indeclinables, the correlatives. Yatha, just as, tatha, so. ததா விஸ்வம் அக்ஷராத் இஹ சம்பவதி. கதம் யதா ஊர்ணநாபிஹி ஸ்ருஜதே க்ருண்ணதே. யதா ப்ளஸ் ஊர்ணநாபிஹி குணசந்திஹி யதோர்ணநாபிஹி. ஊர்ணநாபிஹி இஸ் ஸ்பைடர். ஊர்ணம் ஊர்ணஹா மீன்ஸ் த்ரெட். உலன் த்ரெட் இஸ் கால்டு ஊர்ணஹா. சிம்பிளி த்ரெட் இஸ் ஆல்சோ கால்டு ஊர்ணஹா. நாபிஹி மீன்ஸ் நேவல். ஊர்ணா மீன்ஸ் த்ரெட், நாபிஹி மீன்ஸ் நேவல். பட்ஸ் எ காம்பவுண்ட் வேர்டு. ஊர்ணம் ஊர்ணவ் நாபௌ யஸ்ய. ஊர்ணம் ஆர் ஊர்ணஹா நாபௌ யஸ்ய. ஊர்ணஹா நாபௌ யஸ்ய. த ஒன் இன் ஹூஸ் ஸ்டமக், இன் ஹூஸ் பெல்லி த்ரெட் ஈஸ் இஸ் கால்டு ஊர்ண நாபிஹி. த்ரெட் ஸ்டமக் ஜஸ்ட் த மீனிங் ஊர்ண நாபிஹி. So spider is called thread stomach. Okay, thread bellied. The one who has thread in his navel is called urna nabhihi. So urna nabhihi does not mean thread, does not mean the navel, but the spider which has thread in its navel, stomach. So urna nabhihi, spider. It is the only example available in nature for us to understand how intelligent cause and the material cause are inseparable. Two causes are inseparable. Inseparability of intelligent and the material cause has to be understood. The example should not be stretched too much. Don't think Bhagavan is sitting somewhere and from his stomach everything came out. We should not stretch the example. Example is given that to understand the inseparability of the material cause and the intelligent cause, Upanishad somehow gives an example. And it also shows all our rishis must have been highly relaxed minded people. They are tremendous. அவன் இன்னர் லெஷர் தே ஹேட், தே குட் அப்சர்வ் திங்ஸ் அரவுண்ட் அண்ட் தே குட் லேர்ன் ஃப்ரம் தேர். வி ஹாவ் நோ லெஷர், சோ வி டோன்ட் ஹாவ் டைம் டு அப்சர்வ் எனி திங், நோட்டீஸ் எனி திங், வி டோன்ட் பே அட்டென்ஷன் டு எனி திங், தேர்ஃபோர் வி கேனாட் லேர்ன் எனி திங் மச் ஃப்ரம் த நேச்சர். தட்ஸ் த ப்ராப்ளம் டுடே. எனிவே, சோ ஊர்ணநாபிஹி க்ருண்ணதே ஸ்ருஜதே ச. திஸ் spider, first the spider is the material cause of its web. It creates its own web. And to create the web, where does it collect the material from? Doesn't go anywhere out. It has some wax like stuff in its own stomach and which comes out like a thinnest, I mean, we can't even explain how thin it is, how delicate it is. The thread comes. And from its own stomach, it has that wax. Whenever needed, it can let it out. It can create its own web. So material required for creating its web is not outside of the urna nabihi, from its own stomach. So the material cause of the web is the spider. And how to take the thinnest delicate threads, how to take them how to create that web. The web is in such a way that any insect comes there can get stuck there. Wherever it comes there, it gets stuck. It cannot get out. Before the insect goes out of the place, the spider can go and gulp it. So the web is created in such a way, the beautifully, it's a design. Who teaches this? Where does the spider learn this? How to create its web? Who is the tutor? Where's the tutorial? No. Spider has its own innate, inbuilt knowledge. Spider has enough knowledge, adequate knowledge to live its life as a spider. Doesn't need to go to anybody for knowing how to build its nest. Therefore, jnanam, the knowledge and skill required for building its nest, also, you know, the spider has. Therefore, the intelligent cause of the web is its creation. The web of the spider's web is the creation. The intelligent cause also is the spider. Material cause also is the spider. The spider is the only inseparable intelligent and material causes of its own creation called web. Okay, like that. Bhagavan, we say, this reality, Brahma, has knowledge, is the knowledge, and the knowledge is not outside of reality, the skill is not outside of reality, and the material required for creating this universe also doesn't exist independently outside of the reality. Therefore, the intelligent cause of the universe is Brahma. Material cause of the universe is Brahma. So, abhinna nimitta upadana karanam Brahma. Abhinna, please learn all these names. Abhinna nimitta upadana karanam. Jagataha abhinna nimitta upadana karanam Brahma. Abhinna means what? Inseparable. They're not two different. You can't separate the two causes. So, only example. So, Brahman is like this spider. Yatha urnanabhihi srijate grinnate cha. Srijate is an atmanepadam, creates. Grinnate holds. Holds means sustains. Grinnate also means what? So, the wax-like thread can come out. The threads are from its own stomach. It can spread the, make the web. Then whenever this senses any danger, whenever this spider senses any danger, it can also roll back its thread. Grinnate means it can roll back. You know, grinnate. It can contract within. Grinnate literally means hold, sustains. But what happens? It can contract and it can take back its thread. It can roll its thread back into its stomach. It can spread it out, bring out. Again, it can also take it, wind up. It can take the roll and it can contract. It can take back its thread. Srijate grinnate. Not only it comes out, it can also take it back. Grinnate. It can contract everything within itself. It can take back its thread. So, srijate grinnate cha. Which means the whole universe comes into existence from Brahma. Again, it resolves in Brahma. Srijate stands for universe coming into existence. Grinnate stands for universe resolving Brahma. It becomes unmanifest. It becomes manifest in Brahma. It becomes unmanifest in Brahma. Becoming manifest, becoming unmanifest. The universe, manifestation of universe. Again, universe becomes unmanifest. Happens in Brahma. Therefore, the intelligent cause of the universe is Brahma. Material cause of the universe is Brahma. Which means universe is not created newly. It is there in Brahma. See, the spider does not create newly. The web seems to come out. The web is already the material cause is already there in spider. The knowledge is already there in spider. When you see the spider without the web is unmanifest. How skillful the spider is, unmanifest. The knowledge of the spider is unmanifest. When the web is created, my God, you appreciate that the knowledge of the spider, the skill of the spider, and the web is already there in stomach becomes manifest. So it is not newly created. What was unmanifest becomes manifest. Again, it becomes unmanifest. It can draw back. It can roll back. It can take back and contract everything within itself. Similarly, here the whole universe which becomes manifest can become unmanifest also. So manifestation, unmanifest doesn't happen outside of Brahma. Yatha urnanabhihi srijate grinnate cha. Therefore, the same reality, Brahma, is also given Ishvara status. Who is Ishvara now? Who is the Lord now? Lord is Brahma. It is this reality. It is this truth, which is of the nature of knowing, which implied by the term Brahma, is given Ishvara status. Why? Because the intelligent cause of the universe is Brahma. Material cause of the universe is Brahma. Therefore, Brahman is not the creator of the universe, but creator status is attributed to Brahma. Why creator status is given? Without Brahma, there's no material cause. There's no intelligent cause. Therefore, the intelligent cause, the material cause happen to be Brahma. The creator status is attributed to Brahma. Therefore, the universe comes into existence from Brahma. Again, it becomes unmanifest also in Brahma. Becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest. Now, another example given for this is our own dream. When the dream world is created, the dream world doesn't exist outside of you. And all the material required for dream is not separate from you, the dreamer. And the knowledge needed to create the dream world also is not outside of you. Therefore, the intelligent cause, the material cause of the dream world is you, the dreamer. Therefore, nimitta karanam, upadana karanam are abhinnau, abhinne. Therefore, abhinna nimitta upadana karanam ishvaraha. Jagataha, one inseparable intelligent and material causes of the universe is Brahma. So, how can we understand this? Before I go to the next example. Yatha yathor nanabhihi srijate grinnate cha. And before we go to the next example, we have to see, understand one more thing. When we see any creation, whether you see a furniture or even an ornament, you see a beautiful gold chain or a bangle, you see a lot of small, minute work also in the same creation, the product. Suppose you see a beautiful bangle, and you see the bangle is only a form. What's a bangle? Is a word. Bangle is a word denoting a given form. And it serves a purpose also. It can be worn only in the hands. It can be worn as a chain. A bangle is a name, a word denoting a corresponding a given form. Associated with the given function, it serves a given purpose. So form, name and function. Naam, you can say rupam, nama, karma. Nama, name, rupam, form, karma, function or purpose. Bangle is equal to mere form, name and function. Chain is equal to form, name and function. Furniture, table or chair is equal to form, name and function. And this form, name and function, the form is depend, the name is dependent on form. The purpose is dependent on form. And the, so the form, name and function, all the three, or the form is dependent on the gold. The form called bangle is dependent on the gold for its existence. To remove the gold, form will disappear, the name will disappear, the purpose it serves, of course, will be impossible. Therefore, the form, name and function, nama rupa karma, is dependent on, to understand a very simple kindergarten example, we have to stretch it, extend it to the whole jagat later on. Form, name and function, no, constitute what? Creation. Creation means form, name and function. Is this, this is the creation. Bangle is a creation. Production. So, a made, a product, which is nothing but form, name and function, which is dependent on gold for its existence. So gold is the material cause. Where you see the bangle, in the same place, inseparably, what is this gold? So gold is inseparable from the bangle. Bangle has no existence independently without the gold. Now, in the same, now you see the material cause. And the same bangle when you see, we can also appreciate what is inseparable from the bangle is the goldsmith's knowledge and the skill. You see through physical eyes the gold, but what you do not see through the physical eyes, but what you appreciate cognitively is the goldsmith's knowledge and the skill. You don't see through physical eyes, but you do appreciate, my God, this goldsmith must be a very intelligent person. He must be a highly skillful person. Look at the work, what a work he has done. When you see the very, very bangle, inseparably you appreciate the goldsmith's skill and the knowledge. Therefore, the material cause in terms of gold, the goldsmith knowledge and the skill are inseparable from the creation called bangle. Is it clear? Abhinna nimitta upadana karanam you find even in bangle. Don't know who the goldsmith is, what his name is, where was he born. You don't know anything. But you can, what you can appreciate is the you don't see through physical eyes, but you appreciate the skill and knowledge. So in the, even every product you can understand, the intelligent and the material causes are inseparable. The very product, you can see them being manifest inseparably. Like this, the whole jagat also, we can appreciate Bhagavan being manifest inseparably as the intelligent and material causes of the universe. When you see the bangle, you are seeing gold and the hiding, you know, invisible knowledge and skill. Similarly, when you see the whole jagat, you are seeing the material cause of the universe is Bhagavan. The intelligent cause of the universe also is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is manifest as the reality, which has the Bhagavan status, is manifest as the intelligent and material causes of the universe. Okay? So, abhinna nimitta upadana karanam of universe is Brahma. How? We had to explain, we had to understand a lot more only we have covered 1/3 of the mantra we have seen. Yatha urnanabhihi srijate grinnate cha tatha iha vishvam aksharat sambhavati punaha akshare liyate. It comes into existence in Brahma, again resolves in Brahma. It is not destroyed, it is not created. It is only what is already there, unmanifest, becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest, again becomes manifest. It's only example, understand, even the 1/3 of the mantra, he understood half of it. Okay? The 1/3 of the mantra has yet to be explained, and then we have to see the 2/3 of the mantra. Okay? Yathor nanabhihi srijate grinnate cha. This 1/3 of the mantra, I've explained only half. Where do we see? How we have to see that? Then we have to see two-thirds of the mantra. Next class, we'll cover this one verse. Yathornanabhisrjagrinnate cha yatha prithivyamoshadhaya sambhavanti yatha satav purushat keshalomani tatha aksharat sambhavati ha vishvam tatha aksharat iha vishvam sambhavati. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.